The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, let's talk about that Monday Night Football game. The Philadelphia Eagles are no longer undefeated, so we can all pop the bottles for that, unless you're an Eagles fan, of course. But I'm pretty stoked on that because none of us, especially as Cowboys fans, or I really feel like including Washington fans and Giants fans, none of us wanted to see the Eagles go undefeated. So I think all of us are pretty happy that they finally lost. It wasn't really an impressive win for the Commanders, though, just because, you know, it actually started out okay. The ground attack got going a bit there, but a lot of people kind of feel like there's like a quarterback controversy between Heinicke and Wentz, and I find that kind of amusing because really, Heinicke does not really score a lot of points. He can make some plays here and there, but for the most part, Washington's offense is very anemic, and you could tell that especially in the second half of the game. I mean, yes, the final score ended up being 32-21, so it kind of sounded like Washington kicked the Eagles' ass, and it really was just the Eagles getting in their own way. They had a few turnovers, but overall, I mean, the Eagles were right in the thick of things all the way down to the very end. I mean, the only reason why the Commanders got 6 extra points is because they scored that random touchdown on defense at the end just because the Eagles were just tossing the ball around and trying to do whatever they could to get it in. But they fumbled the ball, and then Washington just picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. So, I mean, good for Washington for beating the Eagles, but I think it was more just the Eagles beat themselves and got in their own way. And you're always going to have a bad game. So I don't really count the Eagles out of anything yet. You'll find that out, especially once I get to my top 10 NFL power rankings here. But I don't believe in the Commanders any more than I did before. And I don't think there should be a quarterback controversy because Heinicke, he does give them a little bit of spark. But overall, he doesn't score a lot of points. The offense is very anemic with him in there. And I do think Wentz is the better option just because he can score a lot more points, and he seems to do a lot more. They both throw a lot of interceptions and turn the ball over. But and there was that another way the Eagles got in their own way during this game is Washington was driving, and they were just trying to cut the time off the clock. That's really all they were doing. They knew their offense wasn't going anywhere, and every time they handed the ball off, they got like 2 yards or less than that. But they kept the clock running. And so there was a third down play. I think it was like 3rd and 2. And Taylor Heinicke, he had nobody to throw the ball to. He was running around, trying to find anything to do. And basically what he did is he just ended up kneeling the ball. The two Eagles defenders, they went in to actually tackle him. Now, it wasn't like an egregious hit, but I started laughing because I was like, well, this is going to be obvious. It's going to be an obvious call against the Eagles there for 15 yards just because they touched the quarterback. They're going to call a roughing the passer play on that because they straight up tackled him. And so the Eagles were pissed off about that, but that was really them getting in their own way. They didn't even need to touch Heinicke because those are the rules when it comes to the quarterback. Is as soon as they take a knee or they slide or they're on the ground in any way, shape, or form and they've basically given themselves up, that means they're basically tackled. And all you have to do is just put your 2 hands on them. You don't even have to do that. But both the Eagles players kind of went after him to tackle him and cost them 15 yards. And then the Commanders were able to just get another first down, get the Eagles to waste their timeouts. But then the hilarious thing was the Commanders were kneeling the ball. And they got to 4th down, and that's why the Eagles were able to get the ball back because they still had some time on the clock. Not a lot of time. I think it was like 11 seconds, but still. Washington did not look good. Taylor Heinicke does not look that good. But really, they're the Commanders. I don't think it matters what they do. I think they're going to suck either way. Whereas the Eagles, I just think it was a bad game for them. Which is going to happen when you have when you play 17 games in a season. And then if you go to the playoffs, there's even more games. So let's get into the top 10 NFL power rankings. A little bit of movement, actually. Not at the number one spot, though. Even though the Eagles lost, I have maintained them at the number one spot just because that wasn't like they got their asses beat. It was more they got in their own way. So they are 8-1 on the season. Jalen Hurts actually had a very solid game other than the interception that he threw. But still, his season is just lights out right now. He's got 2,217 yards passing, 14 touchdowns, and only three interceptions on the season with 354 rushing yards and seven rushing touchdowns. So he's doing it both through the air and on the ground, and he's really making a huge difference with this team. A.J. Brown at the wide receiver position, he's really starting to get catch fire as well. He's got 725 yards and six touchdowns on the season. And then their defense is just killing it. They've got 13 interceptions on the season. I believe that's tied for the league lead for interceptions on the season. So really, they're just holding it down offensive and defensively. And they didn't show me anything where I'm like, oh yeah, this team is not for real. In the last game, it was more like they were playing a division battle and you're going to have a bad game. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 7-2. And this team is just all about Patrick Mahomes. Still from week one all the way here to week 10, Mahomes is on fire. He's passed for 2,936 yards. So he's already almost at 3,000 yards passing. And 25 touchdowns and only seven interceptions on the season. He leads the league in touchdowns. So he's really just, he's just on fire. And the Chiefs are rolling right through him. The defense is definitely a shaky point for the Chiefs. And they do have a very easy schedule the second half of the season, but it's more like I'm thinking about the playoffs. And I have a feeling at some point towards the end of the season or maybe come playoff time, this defense is really going to let them down and there's going to be too much pressure on Mahomes. But hey, so far it hasn't shown that this pressure is too much for him and Mahomes is flying high. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've moved up the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 8-1, and they just got a big win against the Bills. They're rolling right now. 8-1 ain't nothing to laugh at. I still don't know if I'm 100% sold on them, but right now they're just killing it. Cook, he's rushed for 727 yards and six touchdowns, so he is having a solid season, and he's been a workhorse for them, especially on like third downs. He's been making big plays when he needs to. And then Justin Jefferson, I called him being the offensive player of the year this year anyway, so I'm not shocked by what he's done, but he is just on fire. He's caught 1,060 yards and four touchdowns, so he's having a great year. But the defense also, they just look really good right now. They actually have Za'Darius Smith. He's got 8.5 sacks right now in the season. And just their defense is holding it down, doing what they need to do. And Vikings rolling right now. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Miami Dolphins. Speaking of rolling, they are rolling right now. They are 7-3. Tua Tagovailoa hasn't lost one game this season. Their only losses have been when he hasn't played the game. And this offense is just something else. You know, Tua Tagovailoa's got 2,265 yards through the air with 18 touchdowns and three interceptions. And then you have Tyreek Hill with 1,148 receiving yards and four touchdowns. And then Jalen Waddle's right behind him with 878 yards and six touchdowns. So really, the offensive production is through the roof with the Dolphins. And they are just, they just keep on winning, just like the Vikings. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Buffalo Bills took a little bit of a tumble this week. Overall record of 6-3. It's really just because they're on a two-game losing streak, and these last two games haven't been that impressive for them. They've really fallen apart in the second half. And while Josh Allen is still having a good season, He's got a great arm. You can't really say anything negative about him except for the turnovers in the red zone, and that's really been his problem these last couple of weeks, and really in the three losses, that's been the common denominator. So far in the season, he has 2,733 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, which also leads the league, so that's not what you want. So he's really got to clean that up, especially in the red zone. But also, I put it on the coach, too, for going for it on fourth down, fourth and two, when they really didn't need to. And that's when he threw that second really bad interception that really changed the trajectory of the game. So the coach needs to really stop not just taking points. I mean, there's nothing wrong with kicking a field goal. Sometimes you just have to kick that field goal, and you may feel like it's not that big of a deal, but throwing an interception in the red zone, it usually is a momentum changer, especially for when you're playing good teams. Like last week when they played the Vikings, that's what happened, is a good team was able to take advantage of the issues that they had, and then they were able to get the win. I don't look at the Bills any differently. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league, but they've got a lot of issues, and they do have still the second half of the season to clean up those issues, but they definitely got to work on that. Stephon Diggs, though, speaking of Jefferson, he's having a great year for the Vikings. Well, Stephon Diggs, who used to be with the Vikings, he's having a great year with the Bills this year. He's got 985 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. Von Miller has 8 sacks, so that guy is just on fire for the defense. And then their defense also has 13 interceptions overall in the season. So it is a good season for the Bills, but this 2-game losing streak has made them tumble in the top 10 NFL power rankings. Then at number 6, I have the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 6-3. They're coming off of a bye week, so no changes for them this week. Lamar Jackson is just having a phenomenal season. And then Justin Houston on the opposite side of the ball, he is having a phenomenal season with 8.5 sacks. Overall, the Baltimore defense is able to get the sacks. They're able to get the turnovers. It's just they tend to they don't have the stamina. They tend to give it up in the fourth quarter and lose big leads or just give up the game in general. So the defense, they have some positive things about them, but they have some really negative things also. So we'll see where the Ravens are at after the bye week, but they're still a solid team, and so I've got them at 6. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 5-4. This defense is just insane. Joey Bosa has 9.5 sacks on the season. And then you got Hufanga, their safety, who has 4 interceptions already on the season. And he's just, it just seems to be wherever the ball is thrown, that dude is there. He kind of reminds me of Troy Polamalu, and it's not just the hair that he's got. It's that, like, he just kind of has that same type of style of play. He just always seems to be where the ball is at. I don't know if he has the same type of skills when rushing the passer as Troy Polamalu did, but Hufanga is looking like a damn good safety for the 49ers. And then just offensively, they didn't have an amazing game last week, but they still have so many weapons, and they just hold it down. And the 49ers seem to be getting better as the season goes on, so I've got them at 7. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, my Dallas Cowboys taking the tumble this week. Overall record of 6-3, coming off of that bad loss against the Green Bay Packers. Overall, the defense has been our backbone, and this last week, actually the last 2 weeks, because against the Bears, they got ran all over. So the defense really needs to start stepping it back up again, because they are our backbone. And if the offense starts to struggle, we need the defense to rely on them. And that showed in this Green Bay game. The penalties have to stop too, but I mean, that's been the issue for God knows how many years at this point with the Cowboys. But they're just coming off of a bad loss to the Packers, and really until they get like a good solid win, Cowboys can't, they can't be above any of these other teams, at least in my opinion. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tennessee Titans, overall record of 6-3, and it's just really all about Derrick Henry with this team. He's got 923 rushing yards already on the season, so he's already coming close to that 1,000-yard mark. And really, if you look at it, because we're halfway through the season, he might be making a run for another 2,000 yards. So look out for Derrick Henry. He's got 9 touchdowns as well, but the Titans just roll through Henry. Because he did have a bad game last week. Well, not a bad game, but a down game, especially compared to what he's done the majority of this season. But even on a down game, the Titans were able to overcome because their defense is pretty solid too. It's just they don't have a lot of weapons on offense beyond Henry, and I feel like that's going to be a problem for them in some games. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 5-4. They're just coming off of a bye week this week. They're sitting pretty, and they're looking really good offensively. You know, they started off the season pretty shaky, especially with that offensive line. The defense is okay. It's got room for improvement, but really, you know, Joe Burrow, he's having a phenomenal season. He's got 2,535 passing yards, 18 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions, so a very efficient season for Joe Burrow there. And then you also got to look at Mixon on the ground. He's got 585 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. So offensively, the Bengals are looking solid. Even without Jamar Chase these last couple of weeks, they still look really good. And Burrow's got his choice of weapons on the offensive side of things until Jamar Chase gets back. And I seem to recall that I saw a headline earlier today that Jamar Chase is actually going to be back here pretty soon. So the Bengals are just going to be getting that much better on the offensive side of things. All right, and let's get into the Thursday night football matchup for this week. We have the Tennessee Titans at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 2.5-point favorite. To me, this is going to be one of those weird games for the Titans because the Titans are a weird team. You know, they come in and they'll beat really good teams. They'll lose to really bad teams and that's just kind of how they've been the last couple of seasons. Like I said, Derrick Henry is the driving force for this team. But I kind of feel like Green Bay got a little bit of they got a win last week, and I don't feel like they're a legit playoff team yet, obviously. But I feel like that win was a big win for them. It was something they really needed to feel and taste again as a win, and I feel like that's going to spark them this week. I have a feeling they found the formula of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon at running back. Just go through them. Aaron Rodgers finally was able to get something going with one of his receivers last week. So I kind of feel like that's going to spark them a bit. I don't know if they're going to like go on some major run because the Titans do have a very solid defense. So I still expect them to hold it down. I have a feeling Derrick Henry's going to have a good game. But for some reason, I'm just leaning towards Green Bay on this one. My gut's been telling me Green Bay. And so I just kind of feel like they were sparked from last week's win against Dallas. And the Titans, they're always a weird team. You never know what you're going to get from them. And I feel like that's going to be the case in this game. So I've got the Green Bay Packers winning 20-14. All right, now let's move on to the college football playoff rankings. And no movement at the top 4 because all the top 4 teams won. There was no movement. So basically, we still have the same thing up at the top. A little bit of movement at the bottom. But overall, the top 10 looks just about the same this week because there really weren't that many crazy matchups this week other than TCU at Texas. And that ended up being a complete shit show, at least in my opinion. So let's get right into it. Number one this week, of course, still Georgia. 10-0. Took care of business last week against Mississippi State. They won 45-19. And this week they will be at Kentucky, who is not playing as well as they were at the beginning of the season. So I kind of expect Georgia to roll once again this week. Then at number 2, we have Ohio State. They're still 10-0. They rolled over Indiana this weekend, 56-14. And they will be playing Maryland this weekend. Then Michigan is number 3. They're still 10-0. They rolled over Nebraska, 34-3. They will be playing Illinois this weekend. And then at number 4, we have TCU. They are still 10-0. They did just barely get by my Texas Longhorns, 17-10. But it was really just a pathetic showing by the Longhorns. They really couldn't get shit going offensively. Really, TCU couldn't either. It was a defensive battle between both teams, which was just very odd. But TCU got the win, and so they're still at number four, and they will be at Baylor this week. Then at number five, you got Tennessee. They're at 9-1, and they stomped Missouri this week, 66-24. They will be at South Carolina this weekend. Then at number six, we have LSU. They're 8-2. They just got by Arkansas this weekend, 13-10, and they will be playing UAB, University of Ass Butt. That's who they're going to be playing this weekend. And then number seven, we have USC. Their overall record of 9-1. They just killed Colorado this week, 55-17. They will be at number 16 UCLA this weekend. So that'll be the big game of the weekend, especially when it comes to the top 10 here, is I feel like this is going to be usually is a huge matchup between the two. But for once, both of them are really good teams. And UCLA is my secondary team right behind the Texas Longhorns. So I will 100% be rooting for UCLA in this one. We got a good chance at knocking USC down a little bit more. But it's going to be a good ass game this weekend between USC and UCLA. Then at number eight, Alabama, they're 8-2. They just got past Mississippi, 30-24, and they will be playing against P this weekend. And that's all I need to say is P. I don't even need to make up shit for that. That is who they're playing this weekend. Then at number nine, we have Clemson Tigers. They are 9-1. They beat Louisville this weekend, 31-16, and they will be playing Miami this weekend. And then rounding out the college football top 10 is the Utah Utes. They are 8-2 this season. They just beat Stanford 42-7, and they will be at number 12, Oregon, this weekend, which I guess is also another good game. But Oregon kind of laid an egg last week, and I don't know if they're going to be competitive against Utah, but we'll see. It should be a good game, but I don't know if that either team is going to make any chance into the top four unless some of these other teams start to fall. But I mean, as you could see, it's SEC heavy as always, you know, with Georgia at one, Tennessee at five, LSU at six, Alabama at eight. And so it's like, even if Georgia loses their one of these games, chances are they're definitely, honestly, I feel like if Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan, if any one of them suffers one loss, I think they'll still be fine for the top four in the college football playoff. I mean, Tennessee maybe could sneak in there just because they only have the one loss, and that one loss was to a really good team in the top four. But I mean, really, I kind of feel like Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan have kind of cemented their spot at the top, whereas TCU, they're that iffy team. I feel like TCU's the team that could, as soon as they suffer a loss, they're going to fall completely, probably all the way to 10, if not further. So that's really the only team I see in the top four that is has the potential to fall. Other than that, though, I feel like Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, they suffer one loss. It's not going to be a big deal. Tennessee maintains what they're doing, then they would sneak in at that number four position. But, you know, you look at USC, if they're able to get past UCLA this week, that would bump them up a little bit. And so, yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, there's still even the potential for stupid-ass Alabama to get into this college football playoff. So we'll see what happens. But I think the top three for sure is set. I feel like all three of those teams are in no matter what, as they should, because I feel like they're better than all of those teams, except for Tennessee. I feel like Tennessee is actually better than TCU. I think TCU is kind of fugazi, if you will, just because, especially with the way they played against Texas, because Texas did not play a good game. Texas, I don't even know what the hell that shit was from them on the field, but they didn't play a good game. But TCU did not play a good game either, and they've actually had their struggles, and so I would not be shocked if they lost to Baylor this week. Baylor isn't really killing anybody, but it is a division matchup, and TCU, I would not be shocked to see them fall, but that's really the only spot in the college football playoff I see that is up for grabs. But other than that, that's how we're looking this week with the college football playoff, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.